What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day He appointed for a rising. To Thee belongs praise, for Thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst Thou willed, Thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to Thee belongs praise, for Thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to Thee, to be joyful in worshipping Thee, to be desirous of Thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me Thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom Thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salaamun Alaikum. You're listening to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us under the topic of Palestine.
Ya Hassan, ya Hassan, ya Hassan.
Today, Tuesday, is the 13th of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Khordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of May, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Al-Baqarah from the Holy Quran, verse 279.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فإن لم تفعلوا فأذنوا بحرب من الله ورسوله وإن تبتم فلكم رؤوس أموالكم لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون.
And if you do not, then be informed of a war against you from Allah and His Messenger. But if you repent, you may have your principal. Thus you do no wrong, nor are you wrong.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Some points with regard to this verse. The first point is that usurer is a fighter against Allah. Any usurer would know that in this battlefield, he who is a feeble and contemptible moral is on one side and Allah is on the other. Since usurer is a fighter against Allah, it is to the Islamic government as a duty to take action against usurers. Both being the oppressor and the oppressive are condemned. Neither accept oppression nor be an oppressor. The heinous act of oppression and injustice. It is of perfect justice and complete mercy and kindness of Allah that He prohibited injustice for Himself and made it forbidden among His slaves as well. Injustice comes in different colors and forms, but the most repugnant of that is causing aggression on the earth without right and harming people in their bodies, religion, property, honor, or intellect in different oppressive ways, which all wise and reasonable people unanimously condemn and warn against. That is why it is explicitly forbidden among the fundamentally forbidden things, and people are warned of its heinous consequences.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. Why is Palestine so important for Muslims? In Palestine, you will find that a great number of Zionists have been gathered over there, or they've been directed to move there, to migrate to Palestine. And in fact, they are the occupants of Palestine and the city of Jerusalem. They have some main frameworks, for living over there. The first one is that, Zionists are very racist people. They hold that the Jews, not only the Jews, but also Zionists, are the noblest race of the world. And at the same time, they apparently favor the Hebrew language and the Jewish religion. But in fact, they don't believe in the Jewish religion. They don't believe in Judaism. They don't believe in the monotheistic practices of the Prophet Moses, because the Prophet Moses was a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to whom there are many, many references in the Holy Quran. However, they pretend to be so, but in fact they don't believe in no religion at all. in support of this, we can say that whatever Zionists attacked any place, they demolished and devastated everything. Another one is terrorism. And terrorism is one of the main strategies of Zionists over there. For example, in Ain al-Zaytun, in Salahuddin, in April in 1948, and also in Kafr Qasim and Akka in 1956, and also in Gaza, in the Palestinian camps in Sabra and Shatila, in Lebanon, in 1980s, in the beginning of 1980s, Zionists committed many crimes. Personally, I was over there, I mean, in Lebanon, when Zionists came and captured Beirut, and after that, they attacked the Palestinian camps of Sabra and Shatila in the southern part of Beirut, and I mean, committed a very great massacre over there. Two or three days after the Zionists moving out of the whole region, I went over there and I noticed, I mean, what great calamity was committed over there.
I will not fall, but I'm forgotten. I'm standing tall, I feel abandoned. Stand elevated, blessed by the prophets, led by the greatest, and peace it was promised. Can you hear my cry? Can you feel my hurt? One day the sun will rise over this land of love.
The issue of Palestine is the world of Islam's top priority. Today, the issue of Palestine is the first issue of the world of Islam. Anyone who has a correct understanding of the issue of Palestine acknowledges that the issue of Palestine is the first issue of the world of Islam. The key to defeating the enemies of Islam is the issue of Palestine, the most important issue of the world of Islam in the present time is the issue of Palestine. Why is it that? This is because Palestine is an Islamic country. They have come and occupied this country. They have taken it away from its people. The issue is not about usurping a village or a city. The enemy has usurped a country and it has used it as a base for jeopardizing the security of regional countries. One should fight against a cancerous tumor. Notice that if a person issues a fatwa as a religious mufti saying that fighting against Zionism is haram, that helping such and such group which is fighting against Zionism is not allowed. This is really a disaster to witness that some people in the world of Islam are acting against the interests of Islam and have friendly relations with the enemies. We go and look at ways to support Palestinians. Education. One of the best and most important ways to help the people of Palestine is through education. Education and understanding history will allow people to understand that the recent attacks did not come out of nowhere. The harm that has been done to Palestinians and the often contradictory information that is presented about the conflict make this a difficult issue to discuss. It is likely that addressing this topic will raise political sensitivities and political concerns. The best way to address these concerns while promoting learning and action is to take time to listen to Palestinians and to learn about the ways in which Palestinians are impacted by violence and human rights violations today.
So my friends, we might underestimate the power of our prayers, but let us not underestimate the one who is hearing our prayers. Let us not underestimate the one who responds to our prayers when we call upon him. And let us earnestly pray for our brothers and sisters in Palestine, that God may rid them of this evil oppression that is lurking above them, of this brute force, this unrelenting brute force. And even if the world decides to side with the oppressor, even if so-called Islamic governments, who are a shame to humanity, decide to side with the oppressor, you and I, let us keep those oppressed people in our hearts, those victims. Let us pray for them, the ones who have passed, the ones who are suffering, the ones who have no way out, the ones who have no voice. Let us become their voice. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove his afflictions from them and to come to the aid of the believers. We are not just rallying and protesting for human rights, but to also change how people see Middle Easterners, to Muslims in general as well. We don't need our young men to perpetuate violent stereotypes and give fodder to media to say we are committing hate crimes. When you are out there, friends, we may be riled up by our passions, but let us demonstrate resilience. Let us demonstrate patience. There are people who are going to try to take cheap shots at you just to show that you know, just to try to cause some sort of violent reaction. Resist it at all costs. Let us show people that we are peaceful, but we are united and that we will not be silenced.
Inshallah, we continue this topic till another episode of today's special, Fi Amanillah.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and here is food for thought for you today in the form of a beautiful saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Exchange visits, treat each other mercifully, give each other, and do not be like the hypocrites who say what they do not do.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the Hadith and the tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, on which he, you know, mentions to us the characteristics and the traits of a person who is an aqil and those of a person who is jahil. And we've reached this segment where the Imam alayhi salam mentions a very important trait, something that is extremely practical. All of these traits are practical. And what is important is when we come to the end of the tradition, the advice the Imam gives, hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to reach the end of this tradition, inshaAllah. It's still a while to go. So the Imam says in this regard that the next battalion that is in the army of the intellect or aql is sabr, patience. And again, patience in all of its forms. Not just patience in terms of, you know, hardship. Because as we can see from the opposite, and the Imam then tells us what the opposite is as well, which is jaza'. Now jaza' is this uncontrollable grief and, you know, mourning, complaining that a person will have at the loss of something. Now this patience that a person has can come in many forms, in terms that a person, when he loses something that is dear to him, he understands that that particular thing did not belong to him in the first place. This is important. Again, most of these things and most of these traits lead a person to understand that he is a dependent. Not only a dependent being, but absolute dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, on the flip side, you see that those traits that, you know, the cracks of a person being a jahil or being a part of the army of those who are jahil is that they do not see themselves as being connected to a divine source. Of course, that is something, you know, very difficult for a Muslim, a person who believes in the concept of monotheism, to accept. It's difficult. Yes, we have different degrees of this understanding of dependence, but we still have that understanding of dependence. And these traits that Imam mentions for the Aql, you know, promote and push us towards and facilitate that understanding of complete and absolute dependence. So here the Imam is saying that this sabr and this patience in the time of when a person loses something, it can be a material thing, can even be, you know, a dear family member, because the person understands that you do not belong to me in the first place. So therefore there is nothing to really grieve about. Because if, for example, it was a family member, come back to his source or her source. It was a material object, didn't have any worth in the first place, can be replaced, or, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may decide to give you something better. So inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us with the adequate amount of patience required in this world. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانه. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio, a program which aims to make us more familiar with the Holy Quran. This program consists of many interesting parts. We are going to listen to a recitation by a famous reciter. An expert of the tajweed of the Quran will analyze the recitation. And also, in the final part, we will have amazing stories about those people whose lives have been changed by the noble Quran. You're tuned to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And I, Mahdi, ask you to stay tuned. Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of verses 4 and 5 of Surah Az-Zumar, recited by Brother Abbas Imam Juma.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لو أراد الله أن يتخذ ولدا سبحانه سبحانه هو الله الواحد القهار خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق يكور الليل على النهار ويكور النهار على الليل وسخر الشمس والقمر كل ألا هو العزيز الغفار صدق الله العلي العظيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was the recitation of Surah Az-Zumar, verses 4 to 5, by Brother Abbas Imam Juma. Now we want to analyze these two verses in terms of the rules of Tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Law arada Allahu an yattakhidha. In the phrase أَن يَتَّخِذَ we have إِضْغَامُ وَنُونُ ساكنة into يَرْمَلُونَ مَعَ الْغُنَّةِ The Ya is the letter of Yamun. It is one of the four letters of إِضْغَامُ مَعَ الْغُنَّةِ So إِضْغَامُ مَعَ الْغُنَّةِ takes place into the Ya. أَن يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا لَصْطَفَى وَلَدًا لَصْطَفَى Again, this is إِضْغَامُ مَعَ الْغُنَّةِ إِضْغَامُ بِلَا غُنَّةِ It's the opposite of ma'al ghunna. There's no ghunna because the letter after the tanween is lam. And lam does not take ghunna. Mimma yakhluqu ma yasha. In the word yasha, we have madul muttasil. So you have to lengthen this mat to four or five vowel counts. Subhanah. The ba has qalqala because it's sakin. Subhana, and it's one of the letters of Qalqala. Ba is one of the letters of Qalqala, just like Qaf, Ta, Jim, and Dal. Huwa Allahu al-Wahidu al-Qahhar. The Ra of Qahhar has to be pronounced with Tafkhim because it becomes Sakin as a result of Waqf and is preceded by a letter with Alif al-Mad. Khalaqa al-Samawati wal-Arda bil-Haqq. In the word الحق we apply the قلقلة for the second قاف only because you know when a letter is مشدد it means that we have two of the same letters the first one ساكن the second one متحرك for قلقلة we don't say بالحقق we say بالحق we hold the first قاف and then the second قاف and only release the second قاف We don't release the sound of the first qaf. So it becomes بالحق. يكور الليل على النهار. يكور الليل على النهار. If you stop at the word النهار, the ra would be مفخم. But if you don't stop, because the ra has a kasra, you have to pronounce the ra with ترقيق. يكور الليل على النهار ويكور النهار على الليل وسخر الشمس والقمر وسخر الشمس والقمر The خاء سخر has تفخيم so does the راء and also قمر the قاف has تفخيم and the راء has تفخيم but the ميم does not have تفخيم so pay attention to the shape of the lips While pronouncing qaf, the mouth opens vertically. While pronouncing meem, the mouth opens horizontally. While pronouncing ra, again, the mouth opens vertically. وَالْقَمَرُ كُلُّ يَجْرِي. In the phrase كُلُّ يَجْرِي, we have again إِدْغَام of نُون ساكنة into يَا مَعَ الْغُنَّة. So you don't pronounce the نُون ساكنة, instead pronounce the يَا with شَدَّة and غُنَّة for two vowel counts. يَجْرِي, we have قَلْغَلَ of جِيم. You have to allow the sound of جِيم to bounce back from its place of articulation, so the sound of جِيم is heard. يَجْرِي, the ra is pronounced with تَرْقِيق because the ra has a كَسْرَة followed by يَا الْمَدْ. لِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, both memes have شَدَّة, so you have to pronounce both of them with غُنَّة for two vowel counts. أَلَا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفَّارُ. And finally, here we have the ghain in ghaffar, which has tafkhim because it's a letter of isala, and also the ra has tafkhim because it becomes sakin and as a result of waqf. And before the ra, there is a letter with aliful mad. Therefore, the ra is also pronounced with tafkhim. Okay, dear listeners, now I invite you to listen to the next segment of this program. Thank you.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome back to our program where we try to find certain beautiful stories that indicate the beauty and the, you know, nur and light of the Holy Quran. So in this episode, we'll be speaking about verses number 78 and 79 from Surah Yasin, that is chapter number 36. The verses in question speak about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not only the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather it proves and it indicates to us the ease by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can resurrect us. A very beautiful verse, or verses rather, that these verses, these two verses from Surah Yasin, beautifully resolve the issue of resurrection and that of the Day of Judgment in a very simplistic manner, in a very beautiful, simplistic, not in a bad meaning of the word, simplistic in a simple way. So the verses, the translation goes that, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He draws comparisons for us and forgets His own creation. He says, who shall revive the bones when they have decayed? Say, He will revive them who produced them the first time, and He has knowledge of all creation. So this verse, or rather these verses, as we see, speak about Ma'ad and what is known as resurrection. So one of the stories that has been mentioned regarding these verses is one that, you know, speaks about a particular king from India. But this king, or as the story goes, the Sultan, asked the Khalif of the time. Now this is written in a book, Ajaibul Hind. It doesn't mention who the author is, but it is mentioned in this book, that a king, or this Sultan, one of the great sultans of Hind or India, wrote a letter to Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, which being the son of the Khalif of the Muslims at that time, the Umayyad Khalif, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who was known as the good king, and so on and so forth. So he wrote a letter to him asking him to introduce Islam to him.
So Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Abdul Aziz found a person who was well acquainted with the language of India at that time, and he asked him to write what needed to be written about Islam and sent it. So when the letter was received by the king, he became very happy at it. And he asked that the person who wrote this should come to him and be introduced to him. So anyway, it is then said that Abdullah then also then sent this particular person who he found, who knew the language of India at that time and who wrote this particular introduction to Islam. He sent him to this particular Sultan of India. And what is fascinating, it says that this person only returned after 3 years. So after that, Abdullah then asked this particular person, you know, how was the Sultan and what did he do and what did you do during those particular years? So inshallah, we will finish the story in our next session. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma inni as'aluka برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء.
As it was previously mentioned, dear listeners, one of the most important reasons why this dua Kumail begins with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is that, as the Holy Prophet says, لا يرد دعاء أوله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A dua which begins with بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم will not be rejected by the Almighty Allah. Now, with regard to the words of this phrase, the great Arab grammarians believe that the Arabic word ism, or name, is derived from sumuv, which means greatness. The All-Compassionate connected the preposition bi to ism, which means in his name. And in this phrase, connotes that by reciting the phrase, the supplicant wants to beseech Allah. The supplicant should be aware that calling Allah is not sufficient, and the soul should be purified through seeking forgiveness from the Almighty. So merely reciting and saying his name in the beginning of the dua would not be sufficient. In fact, you all know prior to that that calling Allah without the purity of mind, without the sincerity of intention, is considered disrespectful. The Almighty is in the highest and the most holy position, while man is in the lowest place and cannot promote his position except by making a strong connection with Allah. That's why the Merciful has set Bismillahi as the mediator between himself and the human being. So we start our actions by Bismillahi ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, and this will make us closer to the Almighty Allah.
Bismillahi ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and his progeny. Oh Allah, I beseech you, by your mercy which encompasses everything, and by your power by which you overcome everything, and which submits to it everything, and humble before it is everything. And by your might by which you conquer everything, and by your majesty against which nothing can stand, and by your greatness which prevails over everything, and by your authority which is exercised over everything, and by your own self that shall endure forever after everything has vanished, and by your names which manifest your power over everything, and by your knowledge which pervades everything, and by the light of your face which illuminates everything. O he who is light, O he most holy, O he who is light, O he most holy.
An attentive mystic has stated that the Arabic letter B, or B, connotes the beginning of mystical trading onto the path of Allah. And from Ba to Sin, which S is the letter, is this connotes the secret of knowing Allah, and as a result there is an endless desert of ignorance. And between B and C there is an Alif, or A, hidden. And this hiding of Alif in this vast desert implies that if the seeker does not dissolve his egotism in the light of Allah's unity, he will not reach Mim, or M, which connotes the ultimate intention. Anyway, some believe that Ba or B implies Allah's beneficence to all the people, and especially to the ordinary people. Sin or Si sound implies the secret of His kindness to the noble, and M is the indicator of His mercy to the most special nobles. In the invaluable books Al-Kafi, Tawheed al-Saduq, also Tafsir al-Yashi, it is narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that each of these three letters in the word Bism implies one of the glorious names of Allah. Ba is Allah's brightness, Sin is Allah's eminence, and Mim is His magnificence. And it is as if Allah makes the supplicant aware that He is the observant, and He can observe our visible and invisible deeds. So now that we know He is aware of all our deeds, we must avoid hypocrisy in our actions. He is all-hearing. He can hear the result of our deeds and supplications, and we must thus avoid useless speech. He is the counter. He can even count our breaths, and we must be aware of every moment we spare. The glorified word Allah is a comprehensive name. After Bism, it is mentioned, and it is a combination of all the attributes of Allah. It is believed that three meanings are present in Allah. Allah is the eternal being. Human mind is astonished of knowing and seeking Him, and the return of all beings is toward Him. So the Arabic word Allah is the chief name of God, and it is actually the basis of His unity, to the extent that if the disbeliever calls His name sincerely, his belief will be proved. This name is the beginning and the end of everything, which is to be upright. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye. Allah.
Voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamadi. Islamadi. Allah my Lord. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. His word Quran.
Muhammad, Muhammad, praise be upon thee, a Muslim for all of time.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Youth Station. Choo choo ka choo. It's the Youth Station for you. That's right, we are back. I'm Mughathar Haider.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, other life forms. This is Zainab, and I actually missed that opening.
You did, didn't you?
I did. See? Okay. How you been?
I've been good. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Pretty good. So, our topic is alienation of Muslim youth in non-Islamic culture or society.
Man, she is good at
she choosing
topics.
She is very
topics.
Good.
She is the one when it comes to choosing topics.
Causes, solutions, and means. So we both have grown up. We have grown up.
Yeah.
We both grew up.
We are growing up.
We're still in the growing up process. Definitely. It's like learning. It never ends.
Never ends.
Because that is what growth is all about, right? Learning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah.
And we are still youth.
We are.
The producer would not have non-youths presenting a youth show. Come on.
Right?
Who does that?
Oh, the irony.
Yeah, you can hear it in our voices. We are young.
We are so young. Yeah. Anyway, but we have both lived as youth in non-Islamic societies.
Yes.
On a scale of 1 through 10, how suckish would you say it was?
Oh, that's a difficult question. Because I have nothing to compare it to. I never...
But now you're living in an Islamic society.
Yeah, but...
I
didn't go to school in an Islamic society.
But still, you have like that...
I didn't go to university or actually work in an... kind of, but everybody speaks English here. You know, I haven't really gone into the...
Atmosphere
of Iranians, so...
Still alienated. Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, I can say it that way. I've been alienated my whole life. Actually, no, I can't say that.
For real?
Although, it's nice to get your pity sometimes. How about you?
On a scale of 1 through 10, how hard did it suck?
Mm-hmm.
It was a 5. It was a solid 5
mm-hmm.
because it had its pros and cons. Sometimes the pros mm-hmm. outweigh the cons even. Sometimes the cons outweigh the pros. Now that I'm in, quote-unquote Muslim society-ish, I'd say more things are getting on my nerves. You know what?
What?
I take 5
it
back.
Could be because we're getting older.
Yes.
We just get more grouchy and irritated
Irritable,
by everything around us. Yeah.
But I take the 5 back. I give it a solid 9. It was wonderful living in a non-Islamic society as a youth.
Huh. I can kind of relate to that.
Okay.
Okay, so where I went to school, mm-hmm. it was like predominantly white kids, okay. white people. And any kind of intolerance that I did have to face was predominantly because of the color of skin, not because of religion.
Right.
And people in that society did not know the difference between, for example, an Indian and a Muslim.
Right. So
right.
They
were ignorant as heck. They were like...
Is an ethnicity.
I thought
cute.
Indian was Muslim. That's what they thought. God. Okay, so there are places like this, guys, in the world. And many of the Muslims...
How many years ago was this?
Huh?
How many years ago? 15? 10? 15?
Yeah, 15.
Pre 20. Or post 9/11?
Post 9/11, yeah. Post 9/11.
For real?
So